What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. My name is Dr. Daryl Glover, and along with me is my lovely co-host, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and today we have a very exciting show in store for you. Today's podcast is sponsored by the Vision Expo.
Where are the best new ideas and innovations in eye care dreamed up? Industry conferences are the best place to meet and be inspired by optometrists, opticians, and eyewear enthusiasts around the world. That's how Daryl Glover and I teamed up to start Defocus Media.
And guess what, Jen? My favorite conference is right around the corner, the Vision Expo West in Las Vegas. It's the place you want to be if you want to learn, network, build relationships in the world of eye care. This year, there are over 320 hours of continuing education, including 20 specialty tracks and courses in the latest and greatest in innovations in our industry.
You know what I love about Vision Expo?
What's that, Jen?
It's that you can just be walking around exploring and you'll come up on a live interview with a famous eyewear designer or a fashion show parading down the middle of the floor or a live pop-up talk with some of the most recognizable faces in eye care.
Absolutely, Jen. And this year, you can even go job hunting at the Vision Expo West. Covalent Careers will have a live booth to help aid one-on-one networking with employers during the conference. How cool is that? Also, Jen, it gets even better. Young ODs like us have access to exclusive events all during the show, kicked off with the Young Professionals Happy Hour hosted by our buddies at Transitions at Lavo on the Strip. The Happy Hour takes place Friday, September 15th from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I hope to see you guys there.
Make sure you join the Young Professionals Club for free benefits, which includes a free exhibit hall registration and 6 hours of free CE. You just head to visionexpo.com/YPC for all the details.
And trust me, you don't want to miss the CE because it's incredible. And you definitely don't want to miss the exhibit hall. There are over 173,000 square feet of exhibit space housing over 5,000 eyewear brands from all across the world. You'll be the first to see all the fall debut lines, accessories, eyewear trends, and more. The Vision Expo is truly where fashion, education, and innovation all come together under one roof.
Be there September 13th through the 16th at the Sands Expo in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. Just visit visionexpowest.com to register today.
On to today's podcast.
We're talking about the topic I know you guys are all thinking about right now as we head up to August 21st, the solar eclipse. And you're going to be fielding so many patient questions in the exam room and maybe even just calls or texts from friends and family that they don't know what to do about viewing the eclipse because they want to see it. So we're giving you all the technical information that you need to answer those questions today. We have a special guest, Dr. Omar Punjabi. He is a retinal specialist in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Punjabi, thanks again for being a guest on the show. If you could just give our listeners a little background history of how you got started in the world of ophthalmology.
I'm an ophthalmologist and specifically trained in vitreoretinal diseases and surgery at Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've been here in Charlotte for about 4 years. Prior to coming to Charlotte, I did my vitreoretinal disease and surgery fellowship at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, where I also served as the chief fellow. I also completed my residency training in Chicago, Illinois at the Northwestern University, where I also was a chief resident several years ago. Prior to that, I was doing a couple of years of ophthalmic imaging research involving the spectral domain OCT at the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute in Miami, Florida.
So being a specialist in OCT imaging, have you actually had a chance to image someone with solar retinopathy before?
I have. So far in the last 6 or 7 years, I haven't seen any of eclipse retinopathy because I think the last eclipse in the United States was several years ago. But I have seen solar retinopathy from some other causes. And one of the most striking and sad cases was a case of a welder that developed solar retinopathy because he had used battery-operated solar glasses or welding glasses. And I think in the middle of his welding session, he had the battery kind of lose power. And so he kept working. And I think when he realized that he was done with welding, he had lost a large part of his vision, which was unfortunate. And there have been other cases of solar retinopathy from laser pointers, which can actually burn a macular hole if it's kind of outside the regular standard laser setting. And also cases of iatrogenic solar retinopathy in cases such as an operating microscope from cataract surgery, and very rarely, even in vitreoretinal surgery, from the endoillumination port. So there have been some cases I've seen, but thankfully these are rare. But when they happen, they are devastating.
So Dr. Punjabi, outside of the welding profession, are there any other professions where you tend to see an increase in solar retinopathy? Are there any ethnic groups, certain demographics that you see an increase in solar retinopathy as well?
Well, that's a great question. I think you can see it in all demographics. They happen in young and old, but the biggest risk factors for solar retinopathy are younger people because, number one, they're more likely to be involved in risky activities like welding or, you know, laser pointers or sun gazing and stuff like that. Plus, in younger people, as you know, the media is very clear. And so there's a higher chance of penetration of ultraviolet radiation as opposed to older folks that have cataracts that blocks a fair amount of light. So young age is a definite risk factor. The other ones which are common is if you have clear intraocular lens or if you've had cataract surgery. And also some young folks are on photosensitizing agents like tetracyclines or sorolins, and they kind of concentrate in the retina and they kind of accumulate light. But occupation wise, you know, welders is probably the most common risk factor for solar retinopathy.
I think that's what makes this eclipse a little bit even more dangerous because it's this such isolated event and there's so much hype around it. How little exposure to looking and gazing directly at that sun during the eclipse could we expect to find maybe a risk of solar retinopathy starting?
If there's any good data on how long you need to look at the sun to develop solar retinopathy, but from what we can read in the literature, people that look at the sun directly for as little as 30 to 60 seconds can develop some early stages of retinopathy. And if you look at the sun longer than that, the risk is even higher.
Wow. So you were recently interviewed by the local Charlotte news station about the upcoming eclipse. In your practice, what question have you been asked most about regarding the eclipse and what to do about it?
Yeah, there have been several questions already because people are excited. As you know, the eclipse is going to be very close to us here in North Carolina. I mean, the total solar eclipse. And so a lot of patients are excited to drive down to see the total eclipse in the South Carolina region. The most common question that I get asked is, how do you safely view the eclipse? So that's kind of the most common question that we get.
So let's touch a little bit more on that. Let's expand on safety. What's the best way to protect the eyes? Is it okay to wear sunglasses? If so, is there a certain type of coating that we should have? Is there a certain pair of glasses with a certain filter that we should use? Please elaborate on safety a tad bit more for us, Doc.
Plus, sunglasses are not safe to view the eclipse because they don't have the required amount of protection that's necessary to look directly at the sun. So regular sunglasses block a lot of ultraviolet radiation, the UVA and part of the UVB spectrum, and the 400 nanometers. But sunlight, if you look directly at it, has a lot of other harmful radiation, such as visible spectrum, as well as near-infrared and infrared radiation. And that itself can lead to solar retinopathy. So absolutely, you should not use regular sunglasses or homemade filters to view them.
I think that's where people are going to have so many misconceptions because we talk all about sun protection and UV protection like it's the same thing. But in this particular case where you're staring at the sun, you need protection against all these other types of radiation that aren't built into regular sunglasses. So it's this non-ionizing near-infrared radiation that is the particular dangerous risk here. And people don't realize that's not in their regular sunglasses. So we have to be the point of conversation to start that. Daryl, I had a really funny story the other day. I had someone come in and they had read, you know, there's a lot of public service announcements going on right now about sunglasses not being safe. So they knew sunglasses weren't safe. And so they came in like, we need to pick up some dilation shades. And my staff was like, why? You didn't come in for an appointment today. What do you need them for? Like, oh, we need them for viewing the eclipse. And I was like, ah! So because the eclipse glasses don't look like they're really special or high tech, now there's this misconception, maybe those dilation shades would be the case, but that, obviously that's not the case. The glasses need chromium alloy or aluminum, mylar. There's stuff built into these eclipse viewing glasses that's really high tech to block that near-infrared, non-ionizing radiation.
You know, Jen, something very cool about this hype around the solar eclipse is that it opens up the door to a conversation. I mean, when you're sitting in there with your patients, you can educate them about these special glasses needed to look at the solar eclipse. But then you can also tell them the difference between that and regular sunglasses and then start to discuss the various coatings and filters that you may need for different activities outside as well. So it's a great conversation starter and also practice
bit. Absolutely. Yeah. So we, by talking about protection now, it's a great segue to talk about protection all the time when you're not staring at an event happening in the sky, because that sort of radiation damage is happening all around us every time we step outdoors. So it's a great segue to talk about total eye health. Well, Dr. Punjabi, I want to ask you another question that I've been getting a lot. I know we talk about solar retinopathy as a big thing. Are there any other potential health risks that could happen from viewing the eclipse improperly? I know sometimes we think about with welding, maybe flash burns, but has that ever been documented or recorded?
Yes, absolutely. You can have several things. As you know, it's not just damage to the retina, but prolonged radiation can lead to cataract formation. And also, as we know, radiation exposure can affect the skin, and in the long term, it can lead to things like basal cell cancer, squamous cell cancer. You can get sunburns, you know, on the skin, which can lead to severe problems as well. So there are several radiation risks predominantly centered around the eye and the face.
So Dr. Punjabi, we live in a world where folks just don't pay attention to instructions. What should a patient experience if they look directly at the solar eclipse, or if their glasses are damaged while looking at the solar eclipse? And what symptoms should we tell our patients that they may experience if they are using their glasses incorrectly?
Symptoms of solar retinopathy develop usually right after a few minutes or, you know, a few hours after the exposure. And patients typically complain of blurred vision, and they may have a central or paracentral scotoma that can affect their vision. Typically, it's bilateral, unless obviously someone has a cataract or some, you know, protection over one eye. The other symptoms they can have is metamorphopsia, or they might even have micropsia or macropsias. And rarely they can also have headaches kind of concentrated in the frontotemporal region.
Is there anything that can be done if a patient comes in, we see the symptoms, they have obvious changes on their OCT? Are there any treatments right now?
No, so unfortunately, there's no current treatment for solar retinopathy. The good thing is that there's actually a fair amount of recovery over time. And typically in the first 1 to 12 months, we might see some reversal of OCT findings and even some vision improvement from solar retinopathy. And usually the starting vision can be anywhere from 20/20 to 2100 and rarely 2400, depending on the size of the damage to the RPE. But over time, you might get vision back, and a lot of patients can get to even 2020 or 2030 based on how young they are and how quickly they recover.
I was doing a little bit of research leading up to this, and there was a study out of the UK back in 1999 when they had eclipse, and it was looking at 15 patients that suffered solar retinopathy. And 6 months later, the vision acuity ended up being like 20/20 to 20/40. So some people, obviously, like you said, can recover pretty well. Some people can have really lasting vision defects, but luckily this is not like a total vision loss blindness situation.
That's exactly right. And in fact, just like in cases like macular degeneration, patients always will have their peripheral vision. It's usually the central and paracentral vision which is affected the most. And that's why, as you said, prevention is the key. This is one of those cases where you want to avoid damage, and good education of our patients is critical to prevent retinopathy.
Okay, so Dr. Punjabi, I completely get it. Prevention is key. But as optometrists and as ophthalmologists, shouldn't we just tell our patients not to look at the solar eclipse? I mean, if we know that it could potentially cause damage to their eyes, why are we advocating for them to even take a look at this? I mean, I get it. It's a once in a blue moon type of thing that takes place. But at the same time, patients could potentially lose their vision.
Well, I think that's a great point. I think the safest way to prevent solar retinopathy is to avoid looking at it completely. But then, as you know, this is such a rare and spectacular cosmic event that people are really excited. And up to 300 million people in the U.S. will be able to view the eclipse, which is pretty rare. And I think almost half of them will have access to view the total eclipse from a short driving distance. And so, as you know, the total eclipse is going to be from Salem, Oregon to Charleston, South Carolina, and a 70-mile zone between that. And so in that region, people can easily drive in and view the eclipse. And obviously, you know, there'll be people excited to see it. And The best thing to do would be either to avoid it completely or wear solar eclipse glasses with have the special protection we talked about.
I think since the dawn of history, humanity, we've been so fascinated by the skies, right? And so to think that we would ever be able to say to people, oh, just don't look, and have it really make a big message, it's kind of like saying, oh, nobody wear contact lenses ever because you could get an infection. It's true. The best safety was we won't fit them in contact lenses ever. But people do want to have these experiences. So in my personal situation, I would say, yeah, I want to see it too. This is a fascinating event. It hasn't happened in the United States to see a total solar eclipse since 1979, but I want to do it safely, right? So sometimes we have to give our patients a little bit so that they can experience life to the fullest, like what they want.
So I take it both of you will be checking out the solar eclipse.
I already blocked my patient time, so yes.
Right. I have blocked my afternoon schedule and I'm going to drive to Colombia just to be able to see part of it. If depending on the traffic, sounds like a lot of people are going to be heading there.
Oh, good luck. I just blocked the patient in that slot and I was going to just step outside.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's more practical than me.
So I want to circle back to the glasses. Where do we get them from? Because recently in the news, I've seen folks are selling older pairs or fraudulent pairs. And also, are you handing them out in your exam rooms or your offices? And if you are you having your patients sign some type of a waiver or a consent form?
Yes, that's a great question. So you want to obviously plan ahead and make sure you get an authentic pair of solar eclipse glasses. And they have to be ISO certified. And you want to look for the number ISO 123122, which is the international certification for solar eclipse glasses. So make sure it has that logo on there. The other thing you want to do is make sure it has the manufacturer's name and label printed on there. Now, there are just a few manufacturers that are licensed to sell authentic solar eclipse glasses. And the best way to look at that list is to go on the NASA website, which is nasa.gov, which is the National Aeronautical Space Administration. And that gives a lot of useful information on these glasses. A couple of other key things to look for in these glasses is make sure they are less than 3 years old, because the filter can be less than ideally functional when it's more than 3 years old. And make sure that they are not wrinkled or scratched, because that can affect the solar filter.
Well, there is a question mark about that, right? Even with, okay, let's say we bring glasses that are ISO approved into the office and we're handing them out. If something happens, you know, is that somehow liable? I know a lot of doctors are asking themselves these questions too, like how much do we endorse these things? But I mean, with the safety standard on there, that's the only way to go. If it doesn't have that ISO with that specific number on it, I definitely would not be giving them out.
Right. I think that's a great point. At Charlotte Eye, Nose and Throat, we are not selling them, because if you sell them, there's a liability. Our administration and CEO have consulted our legal department and our marketing team. And what we are doing is we actually are giving out a few pairs of eclipse glasses for free, but obviously the certified ones as our back to school promotion, but not selling them because of the legal risk associated with selling solar eclipse glasses.
That is such great advice. So I know if you guys are going to be handing them out of your offices, you're going to need to place an order very, very soon, because there's already places that are and vendors that are sold out or on back order. But selling them obviously opens you up to a different legal liability category. Everyone I've talked to is doing it as a back to school sort of marketing promotion, or talking about sun safety as promotion. So giving them away for free seems to be the best way to go to ensure your safety and of course your patient's safety by providing them with safe glasses to wear.
Right. And the other thing is, in addition to giving the pair of glasses, we are giving them the official NASA certified page, which gives information on solar eclipse safety. So it kind of comes in the same packaging, so that every patient that gets it or every parent that gets it has access to all this information so that they can appropriately view the solar eclipse.
Just great, great advice. Daryl, in Nigeria, I guess no eclipse forthcoming that you guys can get excited about right now.
Honestly, I have no clue, Jen. I'm just going to live through you. I'm going to look forward to seeing whatever images that you may present or if there are any YouTube videos, and I'll check it out from there. But I'm living through you, basically.
All right, well... I'm going to watch it for you and I'll report back. So if we have a person, a lot of our doctors even are really big into social media right now and promoting their offices. So if you want to to take a picture of the eclipse, how would you go about doing that safely?
Yes. So in order to take a picture of the eclipse, you want to make sure that you don't just use a regular camera and look through that or a regular telescope, because that's the same risk as looking directly at the sun. You want to have special cameras, which are solar eclipse cameras that you can get with solar filters installed in them to view the eclipse. The other thing you can do is you could go to your camera manufacturer's website, and many of them have information on these special filters that you can purchase through their website and install on your camera. And the last time I checked, on the Nikon website, they had information on the solar eclipse and how to take pictures of it through these special solar filters as well.
So the big takeaway here, it's not safe for you to hold your phone up and look through your phone to view the eclipse. That's not protecting you in any way.
Absolutely, I agree.
So Dr. Punjabi, what's the take home? Let's recap. What are the main things or the key factors that physicians need to educate their patients about in regards to the solar eclipse?
That's a great question. You obviously want to plan ahead, and you want to make sure that you have your special solar eclipse glasses with you before you go to view the eclipse. The second thing you want to do is make sure you have your eclipse glasses on before you look at the eclipse, and take it out only after you look away from the eclipse. And the third thing is, if you have any kids with you, make sure that they are supervised at all times and that they have their eclipse glasses on before you have yours on, so that they are also protected. And then the last thing, as we talked about already, is make sure you don't use regular sunglasses or homemade filters, which are not safe enough to view the eclipse.
Dr. Punjabi, thank you so much for your time today. I hope everyone has had their questions answered. Please, of course, if you have any questions, you can comment here on the comment section, and we'll try to get those answers to you as soon as possible. But become that leader within your community to be the point person for answering the local news and answering your patients' questions, because this is a great practice builder opportunity and a great highlight on all the amazing things that eye care and eye care providers can do for our patients.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's an absolute honor to be here and, you know, to be able to talk to you guys.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.